Welcome to Spiraling, the after show where we spiral about things that may or may not be figure skating. My name is Netta.
My name is Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm good. I don't know why I said that way.
I don't know either. We are spiraling, and things are figure skating as much as things have ever been figure skating, because we're still in the Grand Prix season. And we are still using this here platform to cover everything that time just wasn't sufficient for on the main feed. Which is A, very exciting, but B, kind of devastating to me right now because my good friend Yana recently texted me a screenshot of some honestly horrible looking contemporary Russian film, which I think is like cutting edge but modern and Russian, and she was like, have y'all watched this for Patreon yet? And I had to be like, no, because we're having to be serious sports journalists now.
Yeah, one day though, it's good to build up a backlog of silliness.
Yeah, I have no idea if this thing has like English subtitles or anything, but maybe we will just like Mystery Science Theater it and try to figure it out. I don't know.
There's also, my sister told me there's a German show that's about skating, so I think other countries are doing media that we could explore.
Terrifying. I think we should get into Dancing on Ice.
We should. And there's also that like documentary about the Ice Academy of Montreal, people preparing for the Olympics.
God,
and
that
also
gives me
Yuri on
such
Ice
anxiety.
Season pretty soon.
It is Yuri on Ice season. There's so much, and none of it is IDF. So let's talk about the IDF.
All right, well, I want to start by talking about Denis Vasiliev's in fourth place.
Denis Vasiliev's in fourth place is, first of all, yet another testament to Stefan being the best coach on earth, as we've talked about in the past like 2 weeks. And also, I saw someone on Twitter, and I hope you don't feel called out because I do not remember who it is, but I saw someone on Twitter who was like, oh my god, Denis is like such a weird favorite of mine. And I'm like, Denis was a weird fave 4 years ago. At this point, standing Denis should be mainstream.
Yeah, I'm not like other girls, I stand Denis.
I'm saying that about for me, Denis, by the Vasiliev. Way,
not that Twitter user.
I don't know who it was, and I'm sure they're lovely, but yeah, I'm a Denis Vasiliev's pick me.
I mean, listen, who among us would not want to be picked by Denis Vasiliev at this point? It's amazing. And I think that obviously he's bringing an incredible amount of balls to the wall, acting so hard out. He's like crying and throwing up energy to the ice. I want to talk about his off-ice shenanigans, because after the short program, he was like, I think I'm ready for quads. And then after the free, he dropped an F-bomb.
He was like, I don't know what fucking happened.
He was like, it wouldn't fucking go or something. And I didn't know. It was also, there's also the meta narrative of his ponytail won't stay in. And listen, I see a lot on social media of people being critical of him, like he needs a better hairstylist, he needs some bobby pins, he needs to learn better. I don't have straight hair, and I just feel like I'm not in a place to judge him. Like, it's just not a struggle I deal with, and I can't speak to that.
I can speak to it. I have extremely straight hair. Y'all have just never grown out a pixie cut, and it shows. There is a length where you're lulled into believing that you have enough hair for a ponytail. Because you technically do for all of 5 seconds. But then layers remember that they exist. And it's hard. And I respect him for trying.
I do too. And like, I could see a world where maybe we get like a Jimmy Ma move where he dramatically unleashes the ponytail.
Oh, yeah, the mind Vasiliev school of dropping F-bombs in the kiss and cry and having a very good ponytail.
That's two very specific things to have in common. I really hope they've met and had a nice chat.
I hope they're friends. I hope they become friends. Someone tell them
having
to be
long
friends.
Hair and saying fuck is the really is the solid foundation of any friendship.
I was going to say that's our friendship, but that's incorrect of at least our hair in the past like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that's true. I've never had long hair in my life. Yeah. I love that Stefan always says you should be proud of yourself to his skaters in the kiss and cry. Like, how cute is that?
Yeah, he's always so like, he's so quick to provide feedback, but he is also so encouraging. It's always like, here's why it wouldn't fucking go, but also you should be proud of yourself.
You know who else should be proud of themselves?
The Twitter account that posts things that Stefan says should be proud of themselves.
I think that another person who should be proud of themselves is whoever mic'd the Kiss and Cry, because it's some of the absolute best sound engineering I've ever seen or heard in my entire life.
Yeah, I know the Grammys were just announced like a couple of days ago, but I feel like the biggest snub was the person who mic'd IDF. And I understand it's kind of like the Adele thing of like it just happened, so maybe he'll get nominated next year or they'll get nominated next year. I hope they do, because it was I know I'm joking about it. I unironically enjoy being able to like hear what people are like saying in the Kiss and Cry.
Yeah, I want to know. Like, I'm a nosy bitch. I want to know.
Also, speaking of, I'm just going to go down the line in fifth, we do have Dmitry Aliev, who also was very fun in the Kiss and Cry, because I think it was after his free, which didn't go very good.
It just didn't fucking go.
It wouldn't fucking go. He was listing people in the Kiss and Cry. He was just like, you know, like people do like my mom and dad and blah, 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 blah. He was just listing a bunch of people's names, and he had the tone of voice of someone who's like, those are my friends and they're gonna roast me if I don't say their fucking names, but also like this wasn't good anyway, so here's fucking like Jeremy and Josh and like whomstever, like Andre. It was so,
you know,
funny.
Jeremy and Josh, classic Russian names.
I don't know, I was like trying to not say Russian names of people who could be his actual friends. Like, I don't want to like fucking come up with a list of OCs, all of whom I believe are Dmitry Aliev's friends.
I'm losing my mind. The idea that you would have OCs who aren't even figure skaters, they're just friends with Dmitry Aliev.
Yeah, this is my OC. His name is Sergei Vladimirovich Tchaikovsky, and he actually is a hockey player, but he had to retire at 14 because he got like a back injury, and now he just skates for fun. But he's friends with Dima, and they really like playing Animal Crossing at whatever the name of my OC's name that I just said's house. And he has two sisters. They're twins, and they're all 5 years old, and they take ballet. I can keep going. This is not my new favorite person is this man I've just made up.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But we unfortunately do have to talk about other men. But fortunately, the men are Keegan Messing.
First of all, fortunately, the men are Keegan Messing. And secondly, can I request that everyone drop their Russian Zona OC in the Patreon comments, please?
My Russian Zona is Nina Konstantinova, and she is in the same book club as Dima, and she was really affected by the International de France because it was Dima's week to bring Munchkins to the book club, but she had to cover for him because he was competing.
I'm just imagining Dima as fucking Roy Kent with the yoga moms, but it's him with a book club of just like Russian ladies in their like 40s talking about like Nicholas Sparks or some shit.
Well, now I just need that to be true.
See, this is why we all have Dmitry Aliev extended universe OCs. Just very exciting. Anyway, Keegan Messing was there, and most importantly, a picture of his son was there.
As always.
It's always different pictures, and in this one, I want to tell you that this beautiful baby child has a tiny, beautiful baby, like, punk haircut situation with his tiny little baby hair. The baby has tiny little baby Liberty spikes.
I always call it just, like, a moron top.
I feel like that's if it's, like, I feel like Jianhuan Cha has a moron top.
No, Jianhuan Cha has a wolf cut.
Well, you have to have curtain bangs for a wolf cut, and John simply does not have any carton in his bangs. And let's talk about Keegan.
He didn't fall on his face this time, and that's all I care about.
I just opened his Wikipedia, and the first sentence of his 2021-2022 season is, in celebration of the birth of his son Wyatt Messing, selected home by Philip Phillips for his free program music. Even his wiki is like, this man loves his wife and his child so much.
That's why I think it's so fucking funny that his short is that In Excess song where all the lyrics are like, don't make me say how I feel. Don't make me say it. I don't want to say it out loud. About the man who is like the most vocal wife and son guy I have ever heard in my life. Every opportunity he takes to be like, I love my wife and son. And then it's like, don't ask me.
See, here's the thing though. Maybe his love language is not, like, verbal, like, it's not words of affirmation, which is why he's like, don't ask me, because his love language is showing the camera picture of the child. It's like acts of service. And the act of service is performing a song.
Well, yeah, it's skating to a dad rock song, and so he's saying, don't ask me, because we're not currently near a skating rink, so this is not the right environment.
He's like, please, do not ask me any questions. I cannot be skating about it, so how are we even going to communicate?
Right. Okay, I feel like I understand now that we've talked it out. See, that's why it's good that we have this show.
Yeah, I'm sure, here's a disclaimer for legal purposes. I'm sure that Keegan Messing is a wonderful conversationalist. And he can actually express himself via words. I just think it's a very high possibility that he would rather skate about it.
Yeah, but for legal purposes, I do think that Dmitry Aliev has all these friends we made up for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nina Konstantinova and Sergei Vasilievich Tchaikovsky, or whoever the fuck I said. Very important.
Right, who's next?
Who is next? Next is Andrei Mozalov, who is one of my OCs.
Oh, he's the one who skates the free skate that's like, wasn't colonialism cool?
Yeah, it's fucking, it's Conquest of Paradise. Did you see the thing about Ridley Scott, like, complaining that people weren't seeing a movie he just released? And he was like, yeah, it's because the Gen Zs are afraid of going to the cinema, or like whatever the shit. It's the movie The Last Duel, which I'd never heard of until I saw him complaining about it on the internet. Apparently people didn't see it and he was mad about it.
I would just fucking love it if like one person in the sci-fi world whose work I look up to would just be cool and just not fucking show up like 20-30 years later and be like, actually, here's a terrible opinion I have.
Well, look, sometimes you just have bad opinions and that's fine, I think.
Like, I wish Ursula K. Le Guin would live forever, but she did die before she said anything stupid, so we have that one at least.
God. Yeah. So anyway, colonialism bad, but also that music, out of its context, it's by a Greek composer, and it actually slaps as a piece, I think.
Mm.
It's just like, why will you be driven to write it?
It's also really funny, like, oh, I hate the word juxtaposed, but it's funny juxtaposed with the short program by Enigma, because Enigma was kind of like the go-to straw man of like ethnomusicology people, like, not, or like having like quote-unquote world music not having done the ethnomusicology homework like when I was in music school.
Yeah,
so like it's just a lot of like, ooh, world music.
I feel like both are that though, because Vangelis, who is the Greek composer who composed The Conquest of Paradise, is of that same mid 20th century, like, quoting Wikipedia here, considered to be one of the most important figures in the history of electronic music. So it's like the same, like, you know, oh, they were doing something edgy and interesting like 40 years ago, and it's like, at what cost? Oh, it's still the story we're telling is still garbage.
Yeah, and I feel like the reason we're talking so much about the music and stuff is because I'm sorry, Andrei Mozalev, I'm so sorry to this man. It just wasn't memorable in any way for me. It's not to say that it was bad. It just didn't stick out. I'm sure it was great.
See, the thing is, and I'm going to move us on with this. The thing is, it can't stick out when it's just a good performance, but the person that Skates Before or After You is homeboy Adam Xiao Hempfa doing all of the bullshit that he does for a home crowd. Oh, like Star God. Wars and the Daft Punk medley. The Frenchest program to ever French.
The Frenchest program to ever French. And that's in a field where another French competitor is doing fucking M83. So
the extremely French field. A very, very extremely French field. Yeah, but just Adam.
I love this kid so friggin' much.
I am still rooting for him at Euros. I think it's still possible. He's exceptional. We've talked about him so much. And I will never get tired of talking about him, but it's just so exciting now that we're seeing those programs in front of, like, bigger audiences.
Just it gets the better hype every so time, good. Too. It's because, yeah. like, he's in on it. Like, he knows that it's, like, a hype-ass program, and he's up there, like, he's doing body rolls, and, like, he's feeling it, and it's like, why? Like, why are there body rolls in a Star Wars program? But I don't care.
Don't fucking worry about it.
I don't worry about it. It's fine. Why is anything in Star Wars? I don't know.
The body rolls are an extra that you see on one of the planets. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's because they didn't have the technology in the 70s for body rolls, but then later when they re-released them in like the 2000s or whatever, George Lucas was like, "Now we can do this."
And so people in the background, you can see rolls.
there's some people doing body rolls on like Tatooine, and it's like you know, you can tell that they're added later, but it's still kind of
It's fine.
You know,
it's fine.
Fleshes out the world.
It's very good for trivia night to know that the body rolls were not in the original Star Wars, but they are now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know.
Like so anyway, speaking of Frenchmen, Kevin Amos.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's
struggling and coming back. It's a constant, you know, the short program was a mess and then the free was triumphant and we cried about it.
But it's like he triumphed over an obstacle that maybe shouldn't have been there, which was skating through an injury that he's already skated through a bunch of times and it's never gone well for him.
Yeah, everything that I've said about garbage coaches goes extremely for Sylvia Fontana. He has been requesting to not skate since before Skate America, and that went poorly for him. And then he had to skate again. And it was upsetting to watch, and very much so, all of my disdain for, like, the way, like, Russian women are treated goes to anyone else that we're witnessing be treated poorly by their federation and their coaches and people who care more about clout in the story than the well-being of the athlete.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love Kevin. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, my God, same.
But watching him skate and his whole deal was a lot more enjoyable back when we didn't really know anything about Sylvia.
Yeah.
And we thought she was just, like, a nice lady. And they were so close. And they were crying together in the kiss and crying. It was joyful or whatever.
And now when she cries, I'm like, get over it, bitch.
It's like, good.
It's like, good. Feel something for once in your pathetic life. Anyway, his oil spill, like, top for the free skate is gorgeous.
It's revolutionary.
I am so fascinated by this fabric just because I've seen several pictures and videos of it, and I still cannot pinpoint the like predominant color of this entire outfit because it's so like sleek and like peacock color, oily, and it's so fucking good.
It's like a peacock if it was a fish.
It's very cool.
It's extremely cool. Yeah, and then then the fish peacock got caught in an oil spill and they had to use all the Dawn to, like, clean it up. Yeah.
It's a metaphor for the pollution in the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely. Artur Danilian.
I don't know if I've said it on a record or just in text with you. He reminds me of my cousin so much that it's hard to watch him. Like, he has, it's not even, like, a physical resemblance, he just has the exact same vibes as my teenage cousin. And anytime I see him, I'm like, child. Like, I'm just, like, so endeared to him because of that.
I love that he does Scheherazade as a man. It's like, why are you as a man skating to Scheherazade?
Why are you as a Russian boy? I'm not mad at it. I think this is the future of figure skating. He's very charming. He has very good, like, quality of movement, having said that he reminds me of my cousin.
Yeah, I think he's still a little bit junior, but he'll get there. I think he's taking big swings with the programs, and I'm happy with that.
First of all, he did he won silver several things, like he's the silver medalist at 2020 Euros. Remember when that happened right before the world went to shit? And also at Russian Nats.
Jesus.
Like, that feels like 20 years ago. But I'm excited for him. He's been having a bit of a hard time because he's growing. Also, I opened his Wikipedia page and it has a note of, like, not to be confused with this other Artur Danielian. He's a professional Ukrainian-born Armenian football defender, as in soccer. It's just like this dude who plays soccer in Armenia and is also Artur Danielian.
You know what would be delightful and wacky and full of capers is if they switched places.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Someone produced that for the Olympic Channel.
It would be called, like, Arter Friday or something. Freaky Arters.
Freaky Arters. It would be called the Arter Art. Trap. It's called Art or on Ice. Get it? Oh, like Art on Ice. I gotta go.
I get it.
I gotta go. And speaking of people who gotta go, it was...
I was gonna say!
I'm devastated to tell you that it was Romain Pansari's final Grand Prix. This sweet man. He is still competing for the rest of the season, but
yeah, like, I was gonna say, like, I wonder what that means.
I mean, he is retiring at the end of the season, and he said that he wants to, like, start, like, a skating school and shit, which is very cute. But it was meaningful, I think, for him to have his last Grand Prix be in France, and for his final skate to be this good, because his the short was rough.
Yeah, the free was just, it was almost that thing that I was talking about with Wakaba on the main episode where it's like he just knew he had to do it and it was my way and it was this final, like, ugh, it was just so perfect and he was just like, yeah, we're just buckling down, we're doing it, it's gonna be perfect.
Yeah, I was into it and the commitment to his, like, one strand of hair, ah, just chef's kiss, it was so good. I really love him.
I love it. What a handsome man. And just, yeah, lovely, lovely. And I, yeah, we'll miss him. But I think, you know, in the name of not skating through injuries, as somebody who also has back problems for stupider reasons than being an incredible world-class athlete.
And also, he's done enough. He's done more than enough. He's older than me, which that's enough of a vindication that maybe it's time.
Yeah, that's true. Man, like, I just can't believe I didn't know that he and Mariah broke up. Like, I'm not here to gossip or talk anything else about it. I just want everyone to know that that is how behind the eight ball I am personally, that this happened in March and I just found out about it now.
Yeah, I, like, mentioned it and you were like, what? So this is just to guarantee to the people that we do not gossip. We spill the tea, sure, but we do not gossip.
Yeah, the tea for us is just like... we make up people and then laugh about the people we made up and don't know anything about real people.
Nina Konstantinova, my favorite person. Does Nina Konstantinova have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I think she's dating Sergey. I ship it.
Ooh, fancy. Do they? I feel like one of them brought the other. No, one of them was always in book club and the other one brought Dima in for book club. No, wait, Sergey can't be at book club because it's for girls and Dima only. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we have time to workshop it.
We have time to workshop it, and also with time to workshop it. I don't know what that means. Gabriele Fangipani is wonderful.
I dig his vibe.
I dig him so much. His fucking Peaky Blinders program, I keep forgetting that it exists. And then it starts and I remember and it's delightful to me every single time.
I think he's one of, you know, and it's interesting because he's not, like, technically the strongest. You know, he came in 12th place. He tends to sort of finish, like, bottom half of the field. And he's just, it's not because he's not good. It's just he's not consistent. But he's wonderful on the ice. And he has this quality of movement that shows that he really understands, like, contemporary dance. Because so many of the younger guys are doing this, like, contemporary dance style choreo. And so much of it is like, like, they do the thing. I think it's kind of like a Nathan Ripple effect, and certainly other people too, but they do the thing where they start kind of hunched over and then they kind of, like, wiggle and then they kind of, like, no, I have to slap my arm away because I don't want it. No, let's make bendy poses and weird angular poses for, like, 60 seconds and then we skate away. And it's like, Gabrielli is pulling that shit off as opposed to, like, I think it was Mozalev. I forget. What, a couple of the other guys were like, it was very awkward. It was very awkward. If you don't feel confident that you can really pull off like a solid choreographical moment, you could just start skating. Like, that's what we all know. That's what you're there for. Just skate away.
just like open up and go. Just go.
Skate away.
So anyway, he is delightful and I'm excited to see him get more like consistent because I really enjoy him and I enjoy his skating, and him with Mateo and with Krassel is like such an exciting like little packet of like future of Italian figure skating, and I want to see more.
Can I just say, because I honestly don't know when the next time we're going to get to talk about this is that speaking yes. of Italians, what the fuck is going on with Alyssa Liu and, like, leaving Lorenzo Magri?
Yo! Yo! Just because we're on Patreon and the people have paid to be here, I obviously am not at the skating rink where it happens. I think Alyssa's dad is the villain. He is the drama. He's the worst in the entire situation because Alyssa's been doing good. Alyssa's been doing as good as Alyssa can do given the bullshit of the women's field. And his entire excuse mm-hmm. was like, oh yeah, I feel like she's not being pushed hard enough. Because he allegedly wants her to have like a billion quads by like US Nats. Which is insane. And also the other speculation is that, like, they went to this camp to get her performance components to be better. And now they're moving her to a coach that's quote-unquote better at jumps or, like, whatever the fuck.
So to that I would say, I don't know if she's done cooking there.
First of all, no. Secondly, her and Jeremy seem to, like... Yeah, it looked like her and Jeremy were, like, doing good work. And also it's just shitty to uproot, like, 16-year-old for no real reason, and it's so close to nationals and it's so close to just like the rest of the season, and she was a fucking shoo-in for the Olympic team, and now I don't fucking know, because like stronger yeah, it's just... and more consistent athletes and like people who've competed for longer have had their entire lives rocked when they like changed coaches, and people need like years to recover from that or like get used to a new environment. And I was just like, well, we know that like nationals is in a month and like the Olympics are in like 2.5 months, and anyway, let's like move it to a new state with new people for no fucking reason. I'm so mad about
it. It's like you're doing too much. It's like getting in their own way. And also I would argue that I cannot think of a single possible instance in any context where it's a good sign for a parent to be like, my 16-year-old needs to be pushed harder.
Yeah, it's ugly and alarming, and I hope someone is actually looking out for her, because this is like, this should not be how things happen, and I'm looking at the situation very intently.
Yeah, for all that after she won her first US Nationals everybody was like, oh well, I just hope that Alyssa has a good childhood and a normal childhood and doesn't, you know what I mean? Well, now is the time. If you have
fucking,
any
fucking if you have any sway. Up, fucking say anything, fucking I don't know, just like watch this go down, because I mean we don't talk about like this dance mom's aspect of this because we don't know like what people's parents are like, but like this man is giving interviews and we can see it happen. Also side note, through this whole thing all Alyssa has done on her social media is like advocate for like Black Lives Matter and talk about like social justice things, and I respect her for that. Like people were like heading to her stories to like see like the takes, and she's just like, here's an infographic about like violence on people of color, and I think she's a very cool kid and I hope she's being taken care of. My god.
Yeah, well, and I also find it, regardless of, I mean yeah, the dad is saying some shady things, but like also at a certain point, like Alyssa is, you know, 16 and clearly has opinions and a mind and a voice and is not afraid of like saying things on social media and to the press. And so it's at that point, it's weird to me that the dad is doing all the talking in the first place, regardless of even what's being said.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of makes me wonder how much. I don't want to speculate. Like, I don't want
to
speculate.
Yeah,
about
it's,
it,
it's
but
gross
I'm
to speculate,
gonna...
but I just bad vibes.
I'm just going to keep watching. While we're here, let's talk about women who actually did skate in France. I'm going to skip Ksenia Sinitsyna because I don't... No, I'm not going to skip Ksenia Sinitsyna. She was there. It was fine. The chess dress is still ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't...
Can you talk me through... I have not seen The Queen's Gambit because I'm not...
Well, because I was about to say...
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm not emotionally stable enough to be watching a drama. So talk me through the car crash sounds.
The car crash is... The character, and I don't think this is a spoiler, I think it's maybe the first thing that happens in the show, but the character's mother dies in a car crash, and then she gets taken to an orphanage, and that's, like, where the story starts. And, like, I think she maybe has PTSD recurring throughout the series about the car crash or something, but that's just, yeah, that's what that is. I was gonna say that I thought that it was weird that this, like, very young-looking teenager was skating to a really dark narrative about addiction. And then I remembered that in the show, this child's addiction explicitly does start when she's, like, actually a child. And there's, like, it's kind of, like, dark comedy. There's, like, a scene where she fully ODs on, like, just fistfuls of pills when she's, like, 8 or 10 years old or something like that. So it's really, it's a dark show. And I'm like, okay.
Also, I don't know. Both of you assume that a Russian camp has ever cared that deeply about the story they're telling. It's just a trendy show.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying is that I don't get the feeling from the way that the program is performed that it was put together so thoughtfully as to, like, I'm representing the young version of this character because I look young. It's just also there's a song in there that I don't know that is in the show. Like, it's the song that the song with the vocals. I looked it up and I don't remember it being in the soundtrack because the soundtrack was all, like, rock from, like, the 60s, so definitely in the 70s, so it wasn't that. And I don't know, I couldn't find it anywhere. So if anybody Weird. Knows what the fuck that song is, like, tell me. Lyrically it kind of makes sense, but it's very much not, like, musically the aesthetic of the show, so I was very confused by that.
Very strange. I just think someone opened Netflix and was like, what's trending? Oh, this one? Oh, it has a woman protagonist. We have a woman. There you go.
But I will say, in defense of the chess dress, it's important if you are a top of the competitive circuit chess player, as the character in the show is.
Yes.
To have your pieces on you at all times, ready to go for a quick draw in case somebody challenges you in public. That is my understanding of chess.
Of course, yeah. It's the same thing as Andrei Mozalov carrying around a dagger as part of his costume. You never know when you're going to get challenged to a duel, and you have to be prepared.
I had a dream the other night that full-on props came back into competitive figure skating, and I'm worried that that's a prophetic thing that we're seeing. I do not want to see that personally, but
someone, they're never going to hear this, someone in the competition I skated in the spring, because in adult comps you can have minor props, someone had a violin, just a full-on, like, actual violin, but they were playing it as a ukulele. And it was just in the opening sequence and then in her step sequence. And then for the rest of it, she would just, like, discard it and, like, slide it off to the side. And it haunts me.
Violins are expensive.
It was not good.
I will say, like, Liza Tukhtomysheva did show us the power of some fake instrument playing on ice. But a violin is very expensive. I don't know if it should be slid around like that.
Yeah, no. And she brought it, like, she didn't have, like, a dummy prop for, like, practice. She would just fuck around with this violin for, like, months. I don't know. Oof. Man. I don't know. So anyway, Karen Chen.
I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, every time she skates, I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And, like, I just, I don't know. I never really understand the scores. She's skating in a way that is transcendent and timeless and beautiful. And I don't know. If I don't get what I'm not seeing here, but
I don't know, but I saw everything I needed to see. The only thing I do want to say, because we should be doing quick round, I know it doesn't feel like it, but we are doing like lightning rounds of those. I like the sleeves. I know some friends of the podcast have opinions about the purple sleeves. I'm into them, and I think they're pretty.
I'm neutral, and I guess my question is, like, why does one add sleeves to a costume? And I assume it's because you're cold.
Or something about comfort. Sometimes the sometimes the armholes of dresses are not comfy. Maybe you want, like, a sturdier sleeve. I don't know. Maybe she just wanted purple arms.
Yeah, I'm neutral to the point where whatever Karen wants is correct.
Yes, correct. I am in agreement, but also I enjoy the sleeves. My personal opinion is that if you can put more, like, lilac purple on something, you should. And if the only spot you have for it is sleeves, then by all means have sleeves.
Yeah. Okay, Mariah is she's got a new short program.
Mariah has got a new short program, and she is back to Hallelujah. And she has the most beautiful navy blue dress, which reminds me of the opera dress in Anastasia, when Anastasia shows up and is like a princess ready for the opera.
Yeah.
It makes me emotional. Also, I think River Flows in You works for her.
I do. It's not that it doesn't work for her. I love the red dress for that, too.
Yeah.
I like her aesthetic of, like, it's sporty, but it's classic, but it's, you know.
The neckline situation going all the way down to her thigh is genius. Whoever made that dress, I haven't, like, stalked it. I'm not sure who made this dress, but it's amazing.
Well, her dresses remind me of, remember, like, 5 or whatever years ago when, like, the skater dress was on sale at, like, every store? Like, yes. That's the cut of it. It's like when you say skater dress in, like, a fast fashion-y way. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
It's like the high neck that's, like, almost a halter. Yeah. But anyway, no, it's, I don't know. I don't love River Flows in You.
I mean, it's a way easier sell than the Chromatica.
Oh, sure. Like, I don't think it was wrong to put her in something that was easier to swallow. I think that it's so unbelievably common and basic. It's like the easily palatable, nothing elevator music equivalent of, like, Michael Bublé in terms of obvious choices. And I think she's better than that. But, like, maybe not everybody has had the same level of exposure to that song. Maybe I've just encountered it a lot in my life.
If I had my say in it, and she would go back to two different programs, I would have her do To Love You More as her short, and then Hallelujah for her free. And I know that's too much like saccharine contemporary music, but those are my two favorite programs, and I would like to see both of them again.
I actually don't think that there's anything... I don't think there's anything wrong with her doing that. Like, I would so much rather see that. And I don't think that it's... I think they're saccharine in different ways. I think that To Love You More is campy, and I think that Hallelujah is, like, earnest saccharine. So it's different, and it's, you know, Celine Dion is, like, a secret lesbian, and Katie Lang is, like, a non-secret lesbian. So there's enough of a difference there. Yeah, no, I mean, I love it, and I actually like the new Hallelujah dress more.
I'm weirdly making the same arguments about this dress as I was making about Nicole Schott's Black and Red, and about, like, everything Alexia Paganini has ever worn. Is it sometimes just having one color be beautiful is enough?
Completely agree.
Like, it doesn't need to be anything else. It's so classy. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Ekaterina Rybakova has...
I respect her so much.
She has the most fucking aggressive energy on the ice I've ever seen, to the point where, like, if it was a little bit less, I'd be like, I don't know, how about, like, make it a little prettier? But it's so excessive that I actually really love it. Like, it really vividly reminds me of, like, I don't know, I honestly don't know where this memory that I have took place, but I think I was at a wedding or something, or, like, out at some function where there was a dance floor, and there was this woman who I didn't know. She was not part of my family. Like, I had no idea who she was. And she was so drunk and, like, so large and strong and tall. And she was there to fucking dance. And she was, like, knocking over children. She was bumping into people. People were spilling drinks. Like, she didn't fucking care. She was the only person there. And she was there to fucking dance. Like, that's Ekaterina Rybakova. It's like, she's that lady at the wedding. We don't know who invited her, but she is there to dance.
She is the main character at this wedding. Also, the only other thing I want to say about her entire deal is that I know in my heart of hearts that somewhere in Russia, Sofia Samodurova watched that Mambo Italiano and wept for joy.
It is very much in that tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very much. It's the same camp. It's like the marriage of, like, Elizaveta Tukhtamysheva. I know I'm not the best dancer, but I'm here to win this wedding energy. And also everything Sonia Samodurova stands for.
She had the good gloves too, right?
Yes. Yes, she did. I respect the good gloves so much.
Yeah. Yeonjung Park was another new South Korean lady who I thought was good. She didn't, like, knock my damn socks off. I wasn't like, holy shit, I need to stan her and forget everybody else for the rest of my life. But I thought she was lovely and will probably be better when she's older.
It's her. No, but it's her. This year is her senior debut. And apparently in the U.S. International Classic earlier this season, she was silver, four points behind Trusova. So she's got
it. That was the one that I wanted to go to, but I was in the hospital.
Well, yeah, apparently she fucking killed. And also, it's one of those things where, like, she wasn't even supposed to be there. Like, she was assigned to the Grand Prix, like, she was assigned, I'm looking at the document right now, she was assigned on November 8th, which was, like, 10 days before it happened, which is amazing.
I'm at the point with Team Korea's women where I actually get nervous the more really, really good female competitors pop up that I love, that because I'm like, I can't love another one. There's already too many. I'm going to be heartbroken no matter what happens.
Yeah, there's so many of them. And then we're going to have to watch Korean nationals and be sad about someone and excited for the rest of them, I guess. I don't know. It's a good problem to have.
For sure.
So anyway, Yohana Yokoi is the only woman. She is the reason you were almost banned from Germany.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Someone on German Twitter reported me for tweeting about fat bottom girls.
I sincerely believe that was a misclick.
Want it to be. I want someone to be like, I want somebody to have chosen that as the hill they would die on. I think it's funny.
I had a second where I was like, I saw the email from Twitter, which was like, we've reviewed a report. And I'm like, shit. Like, we've said a lot of things lately, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, my very angry rant is, like, doing the rounds, and I was like, oh, no. And then I opened it up, and just the comedic value of, like, someone on German Twitter was mad that you said Fat Bottom Girls is the best song of all time.
Well, and then I was like, so my sister's ex-husband is both German and a Queen anti, and I don't think he has Twitter, but I mean, you know, I started to be suspicious.
Maybe he's paid someone off to just, like, make sure that you get in trouble every time you talk about Queen.
God, that would be really a circuitous way of doing things, but it could be.
It's like one of those, like, extremely petty revenge stories where you just, like, I don't know, like, fuck someone's life up just ever so slightly to, like, drive them insane over a period of time.
Yeah. I think, you know, I do want to acknowledge that I think that there are, like, mixed feelings about the song Fat Bottom Girls out there. And I think everybody has a right to feel the way they feel, but,
agree with the sentiment of the song Fat Bottom Girls.
I do, too. Like, I think it's, I don't think it's that deep. Like, I think it's just a fun song. I think fat women are great.
Yeah. First of all, fat women are great. Secondly, it's fine to say that people are fat because some people are fat and they are still valuable, good humans. And some of them are very hot. And
some
also
of them make the rockin' world go around. What was her? What's her other program? Oh, it's a Malaguena. Oh, it's a Malaguena with, like, vocals.
Oh my God, it's the vocal Malaguena. I don't hate it. It just drives me insane. And I'm not sure if it's in a good way.
Okay, this is dumb, but I get annoyed if people do Malaguena with vocals because I like to make up my own words to it. And the words that I like to make up are I like to sing the skater's name in my head to the tune of Malaguena. And it is just something that I do that is fun for me.
Can you please give us a sample?
Yeah, like, okay. So, like, in the example of, like, Javi, in my head, I would be like, Javier Fernandez, Javier Fernandez, Javier Fernandez, Javier Fernandez.
And, like, why is that so funny?
It works with most skaters, and it really adds, so...
Why is that? That is so much better and smarter and pure than my one obsessive having to do the name, which is that every single time Sasha Samarin shows up, I have to be like, Alexander Samarin. His name is every time. Anyway,
I love Lehan. I love her so much. I love her free skate. I was devastated that she didn't do better.
Yeah, she's one of those people where I'm like, I need you to like. Know that you got this. Like that vibe that we talked about of like skating out and knowing that you got this. I mean, this was, again, this is her senior debut season. So she's going to get there, but like she's good. She's good. She needs to, someone tell her she's good already.
Why do I feel like she has been around for 1,000 years if it's her senior debut? Like, I feel like because, she's been around for ages.
Because she skated, like, a mixed season last year. She was at Worlds and stuff, but this is her, like, senior, like, Grand Prix, like, full senior season situation.
Got it. Okay, Léa Serna.
I respect her so much. I think it's because... I did see her skate at IDF 2 years ago, and back then I didn't know who she was, but I think she has a fun vibe. I think she's with Nicole Schott in the camp of, like, I think you would be fun to chill with and be European with.
She's also got kind of a Katerina Ryabova, like, all aggression, absolutely no, like, we have no time here for, like, prettiness and grace. We are not even going to attempt. I kind of respect it. Like, I think if that's your vibe, like, and that's your aesthetic, do it. I like it. I think that, like, obviously, like, the basics and the techniques and everything also have a ways to go. But, like, I don't think that Léa Serna ever has to, like, skate to fucking Swan Lake ever in her life if she doesn't want to. I like watching her do her thing.
Yes. I also... something I enjoy about her entire situation is that she does train with Brian Joubert, so we get to see him around, which is always fun.
Yeah. Oh, I felt bad because she was so pissed. I forget if it was the free or the short, but like in the kiss and cry, she was so upset. He like didn't seem that upset, but she was just so hard on herself. So that's my one constructive criticism for you, Léa Serna, is be less hard on yourself. You're fine. Yeah. I like you.
Yeah. Also, I swear to God I'm not mocking this woman, but I just read that at the 2018 World Junior Championships in Sofia, she was 38th in the short and did not advance to the free skate. And if there's one thing I can relate to, it's being in Sofia and skating really poorly. So I relate and I respect her and I understand.
So the last competitor was Star Andrews, who unfortunately had to withdraw in the short program. She didn't make it very far into the skate. We're still not 100% sure exactly what happened. Some people were saying like they lip read her, saying she was having heart palpitations. People were saying she looked nauseous. It was some kind of like health thing that wasn't an injury per se. And then on Instagram later, she was in good spirits and said that she was just having medical issues. So we were sad not to see her, but... You know, yeah. good to see someone actually, like, taking care of themselves.
Yeah, I was honestly so impressed with her for knowing, like, when she had to stop and, you know, doing the right thing, like, advocating for herself with the judging panel and just, like, being like, this is... There would be people who would be like, you know, the sunk cost fallacy of, like, I've made it this far to fucking France. Might as well try to, like, stick it out. But... It just goes to show that sometimes it doesn't need to be all of your bones breaking in half for you to know that.
It's just and like on Instagram, it looked like she was having a good time in France when she felt better. Yeah. So like, I think, you know, it's interesting because I've heard through the years people kind of criticize like, why is she skating with Derek Delmore? Like, why isn't she going to like a more like crazy competitive reputable?
Doesn't she
blah,
need
blah, blah,
more like
pushing? Blah blah.
Oh
well, first
God.
Of all, I think. Well, gross. Right. And I think part of the reason is also, I think it's like personal family stuff. I think personally, if I was one of the only black skaters on the circuit, I would probably find it pretty important to have a black coach as well.
Yes.
And also, like, I think that this, on top of all that, is evidence that her team obviously has empowered her to, like, make choices like this. And so that's a good team that you want to stick with.
Oh, so like the very good, very solid, very smart choice to let her skate to her own singing. Which continues
really
to be
good.
She is.
Like I know that
it could have been so cringy if she was fine but not great at singing, but she's very good at singing.
No, and like as I know that there's this whole thing of like, well, auto-tune can make anyone sound good now, but like as someone who's actually worked with auto-tuning vocals quite a lot, I can hear when it's been used to make a bad voice sound good, and whatever little pitch correction is going on in her song, it's like you can't fake her having a really good voice.
Yeah. Yeah. She also just gets it. Like sometimes she just posts like snippets of herself singing like on Instagram and stuff, and she just like, it's not just that she has a good voice, because there are so many people who can like produce good sound but like can't sing because they don't get like the emotional aspect of it, but she's a good performer. I'm not saying like, oh, one day when she retires she should be a pop star, but like if she wanted to she could be.
She could. And I think there's something so dramatic, so unbelievably dramatic about this moment where you're like clearly doing poorly and you're telling the judges, I can't continue, and oh my gosh, I can't continue skating. And also your voice is like beautifully belting in the background. It's like, oh my God, I could write a fucking I could go back to like get my PhD at another theater degree.
Yeah, join
and talk
me.
About all of
join me.
All of the ways that this was like interesting and compelling from a performance aspect.
So what we're saying is everything Star does is performance art, and we respect and love every single decision she makes for herself.
And with a name like Star, it would have to be, right? I mean, she's just kind of making good on that. So that's what we have to say about the International de France.
That is all we have to say about the International de France. And next week is going to be very interesting, because I will be continuing my protest and not talking about half of Russia while we are in Russia, so come back for that.
It's only like three of them.
Yeah, we'll see.
Two of them, really, because we can talk about Lisa.
Yeah, we'll talk. It's going to happen. Anyway, if you've made it this far, it means that you've helped us.
You are the river that flows in us.
You are the river that flows in us. You are the phantom in our opera.
You are the gladiator in our store that sells that bit was from a different episode. I try not to like cross-pollinate too much in case people listen to them in two sittings, but
you are the greatest showman. Thank you all so much for listening, and we appreciate your continued support, and we hope we made you laugh a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see you next time for the final Grand Prix series event before the final. The final before the final. Could I have worded that any clearer? No. Thank you so much. We will see you next time.
See you soon. Bye.